I mean, how do I describe it? It's
bold.
A light.
Black.
Unapologetically black.
Very funny, amusing.
Caring.
You give great advice from a different perspective. Passionate.
Free.
Vulnerable.
A creative.
Sexy.
My girl is lit as fuck.
Always ready to twerk a little something.
Genuine, very genuine.
Resilient.
Like, sixth sense, otherworldly. If you know, you know.
It's so vibrant, baby. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soul Vibrant, the place where music, history, and culture collide. I am your cultural storyteller and award-winning host, Lady AC. We have made it to the last weekend of July, honey. She came and went because she had things to do. But, man, just to offer some encouragement in these times, in these days, that, honey, as long as you are doing your best, you doing what you need to do, or you're at least putting that effort into doing so, that's all we can do, really. I mean, hell, we have no choice in these times, but remember to continue to stay encouraged, continue to stay motivated, or find your reasons to still keep going, and understand to rest when you can, but the work continues. With that being said, so I've been wanting to do a show on this topic for a while, but I didn't have the right context or a way to formulate my thoughts around this subject until I got some recent inspiration. So although I no longer live in Atlanta anymore, I do take trips there. And on this particular trip, I noticed these interesting billboards that were popping up around the city. And from doing research on these billboards, they originally started around the Truist Park area part of Atlanta, like the Cumberland area. And that's where, you know, the Braves play. And these were baseball themed billboards, but they were talking about how buying sex is wrong, basically. And saying things like, you know, buying sex will get you tossed, or buying sex will get you caught. And my initial thought is like, that's very broad of a statement, but you know, honestly, with these times that we living in, nothing really shocks me anymore, to be honest. But it wasn't until I went to my day job and I heard my coworkers talking about it, and that made me double back to really dive into these billboards, because you know, the conversations my coworkers were having about it were basically, you know, of course, talking about just that, wow, but I say, really, y'all really putting this out there? But then making jokes about, you know, all right, y'all, don't be out here buying sex now. Don't be doing, you know, and stuff like that, and laughing about it. But when I looked up the organization, which turned out to be an organization called about rightsforgirls.org or something along that lines, they are an organization that targets child sex trafficking. And that's where immediately I began to have red flags, because it is very dangerous, in my opinion, and destructive even, to automatically connect sex work to child sex trafficking or sex trafficking in general. Because what that vague of a message does, such as saying sex, buying sex will get you caught, it plays into with the taboo that we have around the subject of sex in general, let alone sex work or anything along that industry. And it does nothing really to address the growing issue that sex trafficking, that crime has. All it does is play into the sensationalism and the clickbait kind of mindset that people already have. And when looking up the organization, a lot of their justification with the billboards was they wanted people to have conversations. They wanted to make people react and stop and think and have talks with people about these billboards. But then that comes my next question. What kind of conversation are you trying to have? And that becomes a problem. because now you're demonizing a very natural need that people engage with, that people interact with. And you open the door for interpretations that causes the issue to child sex trafficking being a thing. So if we are going to address and have this conversation and raise awareness, we need to address this issue directly, especially in this age of anti-intellectualism where people just take things and run with it and believe things using their own understanding and perception, which we already know can be easily manipulated with lies and fabrications of opinion. And so that's what we're going to do in today's episode, is be direct. With that being said, though, before we dive into that, I want to give you the rest of my summertime playlist with my musical breaks today. And because, as I stated in last week's episode, for people to receive information, I feel you have to create an energy, in essence, for people to receive it. And the best way to do that is through making them feel welcome and coming into it. And that's what I want to do with my music. So we're going to take our first musical break and then we'll be right back.
Yeah, they don't know you like I know you. Know you. Ran a room right up and know you. Know you. Country ass in front of know you. Know you. Booty nice and nice to know you. Know you. I got a couple of things that I gotta get straight with you.
Gotta get straight with you.
My life is faster, there's not a chance I could wait for you. Tell me you with it or what? You thinking too much, baby, stick with your gut. I promise I won't lead you wrong. Playing this track, probably think that I'm nuts. I lay it all out on a song. While most of these people is lacking the guts, but shorty, this here is a must. These are the things that we about to discuss, yeah.
I need to know, will you love me when I'm gone, baby? Or is this just a one-time thing? Is this just a summertime thing? Tell me, are you down? Tell me, are you down for this? Or is this just a summertime thing? Tell me, are you down for this? Or is this just a summertime thing?
Make signals every time we talk. Couple more and then it's time to walk. Family asking hella stupid questions. Is she staying with you or she catting off? I just tell him I can't call it. You don't deserve it, she too gorgeous. Cut all the losses, move forward. Sorry, this girl is way too important. Yeah, yeah.
I need to know, love me when I'm gone, baby. Or is this just a one-time thing? The summertime thing. Is this just a summertime thing?
You asking all of these questions. Find out you're stressing, you think I'm not feeling you just cause you ain't been my parents. Is it cause of your appearance? Think you might not be respected. Look, even though you've been the baddest I see for some time, let me know where your head is. I need to know what you want. You need to tell me the scores. Look, even though I've been a wavy, it's time that you met, I just need to make sure. Do you want me for the season? Or do you want me to the end? But one thing that I gotta tell you, I don't wanna just be friends.
I need to know if you love me when I'm gone, baby. Or is this just a one-time thing? Summertime thing. Is this just a summertime thing? Yeah. Tell me, are you down? Tell me, are you down for this? Or is this just a summertime thing? Tell me, are you down for this? Or is this just a summertime thing?
Wondering what you do when you're not in my DMs. Trying to fight, looking too keen, but the temptations making me fiend for a vacation. So why don't we meet at the same station? We met, you're the best thing in the whole, yeah. Summertime thing, I don't know it. We could go, we can grow and get involved. Don't care that my friends are jealous. Mama says I'm being overzealous. Pretty sure we got a thing to cherish. Don't listen to what people tell us, oh yeah.
I need to know, will you love me when I'm gone, baby? Or is this just a one-time thing?
Summertime
thing. Is this just a summertime thing? Yeah. Tell me, are you down? Tell me, are you down for this?
When I'm gone, a one-time thing.
Wonderful featuring Mazin, Imavi, and K Far Away with Summertime Ting. I had to take it to the UK with that one. One of my favorite summertime joints from those amazing artists. So I hope y'all truly enjoyed that. But back to our conversation today, or to address the issue with using such vague and broad statements when targeting a major issue such as sex trafficking can create and honestly add to an already destructive narrative that goes around the concept of sex and connection that we as a society haven't even addressed yet. In my opinion, haven't really done anything with, because it leaves too much room for interpretation. And what happens is, in the average mind, a lot of people are going to see messages like buying sex will get you caught, or buying sex is a serious wrong, and automatically apply their own understanding, their own experiences when it comes to sex, their own experiences and perceptions when it comes to when they think of sex work is. And that's the conversation and talks people are going to have. And not everybody realizes the misogyny, the control, the misguided ways that we are already being given about sex and how to view sex work, or anybody who participates in that industry, or a safe way to talk about sex with one another. Because there even are adults who still don't have a valued, healthy relationship with sex in general to even begin to have a conversation to address sex trafficking or harm caused in any of these kind of crimes like that. So for you to leave that kind of conversation in the hands of people instead of actually curating and putting them in a focus of having a conversation, you're already leading them astray. Because the first thing I do want to target, and I do want to tell people the truth, is that sex work is inherently wrong. Matter of fact, it actually is a part of our society, because sex in itself is a basic human need. There are little parts of our body that are designed just for us to receive pleasure and connection. But what we as a society have done is taking sex and turn that into a taboo, into a almost kind of like a middle school kind of feel, like, oh, we talking about buying sex, oh my god. Ooh, what, like, oh, this, we shouldn't be saying things like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're playing into that kind of immaturity and not really allowing people to expand on their perceptions and information and leading them in a way to make constructive decisions and choices. So the very first point I do want to make is that sex work is real work. A lot of people don't think of the legitimacy of it, because as much as sex work can be the porn industry, the sex industry can also be stripping, which in the city of Atlanta is a big industry, even to the point it brings notoriety and celebrity to it. You have escorting and back pages and all these different ways, all the way to even with the boom of social media, OnlyFans, and with a different content creators that are creating sex content and pleasure content and networking, and honestly trying to, in a lot of the cases, bring awareness and bring different kind of mindsets countering what the industry itself is trying to promote about connections of men and women and different genders, and attacking issues like racism within the industry. So a lot of different ways sex work can be used to even educate people on the way society has taken on these different narratives, and really breaking away from those in traditional ways to really let people understand how normal intimacy, sexuality, growing in that kink, even to like tantric, are needed. Because a lot of people who participated in this industry, who originally were criminalized, were already considered outcast and undesirable and not worthy of humanity by the very same standards. As I've stated on many different episodes, that capitalism, white supremacy, misogyny, patriarchy, they find their ways in all these industries, including sex work. The people who are in charge or in control under white supremacy, under patriarchy, they're the ones paying for it. Who are sleeping with these people? Who are engaging with these people? Who are buying these people? So it creates this cycle of supply and demand because they are also the ones who are fueling the trafficking. So to have the same people fueling the industry also creating the narrative, why would they want that to stop? Doing what they always have done is pointing the finger at everyone else. And the biggest way they've done that is by automatically labeling sex work as criminal, as wrong, as dirty, as unneeded. So first things first is understanding to break that connection between the criminalization and demonization of sex work. But I think that we as a society have a very big issue with the concept of consent. Because until we understand consent, the conditions that create this behavior that allows things like sex trafficking and child sex trafficking to be a thing, it's going to continue. So I think as a society, we have to be honest with ourselves that we have to tackle our understanding of what consent is. Now, for anybody who doesn't know, so consent is the concept of asking or giving permission for something to happen and agree for something to be done or doing something. And that's simply what it is. But when we look at consent in the concept of sex, I like to use the explanation of fries. For anybody who know me, they know I love French fries. But on a deeper end, fries is an acronym related to consent, which stands for F, freely given, R, reversible, I, informed, E, enthusiastic, and specific, S, which spells out fries. For instance, when it is two adults or two people of the same age engaging in this act or making this kind of intimate contract, they both have to willingly be like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is what we want. This is how it's going to happen. They also know that they both genuinely want it. The enthusiastic, it has to be a yes. It can't be a maybe, I don't know. It can't be a, because it's the, and then it impacts the freely, it impacts the informed, because now there are other things in play. This person is overthinking, this person is unsure. This creates a broad, a vague way of moving forward. Not to say that, you know, when you engage in sexual activity or if you pay for your first time or you're engaging with somebody in that case, that you're not going to be nervous or anxious. Not saying that. But what saying is that you made the decision clear in your mind that you are going to engage or participate in this act. Like, you know that without any doubt, without any pressure, without any coercion of any kind, using alcohol or drugs or anything along that line, like nothing of that impairs your decision, your effort to make it happen. But what the problem is that it has been normalized in society to do the latter. Because how many songs, even some of our favorite songs and music and even our favorite television shows, how many times have we seen people wanting to get intimate and they have a drink first, or they slip them something to take the pressure off, or such as maybe this person is bigger or stronger, or even use their position, such as maybe this person is their landlord, maybe this person, it can impact their work, maybe this person can impact their career, can impact their family. And they take advantage in that way and insert that to make the interaction happen. And there's so many variations of that play out. I can even be honest, there have been people I've been in relationships with who have manipulated the relationship in a way like, oh, do you want to be a good partner for me? Oh, well, if you want to be the best girlfriend, or this is what all other couples are doing. And me, in that instance, that not realizing the power dynamic is shifted, that they denied my access to give consent. And that's where it becomes a problem. And that only happens even deeper when you involve children. It has nothing to do with connection, has nothing to do with sexuality. It has everything to do with power. Once again, going back to that power dynamic I talk about. In the society that we live in, adults control every single multifaceted point of a child's life. Children do not have control, autonomy, or even legal protection when they are in presence of an adult. Consent cannot even exist because that power dynamic is already given all the way to the adult. And I'm saying this especially when it comes to teenagers, because a lot of people like to play that line with teenagers, especially because legally an 18-year-old is considered an adult. But anybody who's ever been 18, who's ever been around an 18-year-old, understands there is so much that 18-year-old has not experienced in life yet to make a very sound decision or engagement, especially when they're in the presence of an adult person who is knowledgeable and knows better. They take advantage of the perceptions and the normalization that we have created in society around conversations that we have about intimacy, connection, and sex. And on top of that, it also leads me to accept of the concept of the victim. Because for the perpetrators of people who do things like this, they know who the perfect victim is. The people who are victims of a system, it's more of a psychology term of adultification. Now, for anybody who doesn't know what adultification is a, like I said, psychology term describing the experience of adults putting children in adult perceptions, experiences, and ideologies at an early age. Like, for instance, people putting bills in children's names. For instance, people letting their children take care of their younger siblings, cooking, cleaning, watching them, not just even babysitting them, but literally taking care of them, grooming them, and turn around and want them to be in children's place. And in particular, we see that in children of color, Black children in particular. And I can speak to this being a Black woman who was formerly a Black girl. You know, you see how people automatically put their understanding of the world, of life, and put that on to girls when they show what they perceive as attributes of being worldly, of being mature for their age, and all those different words that they like to use, such as the concept of being fast or showing attitude or putting their hand on their hip. All these little things that honestly are just ways that children naturally, Black girls naturally, develop and learn and grow, especially from watching the people that they're around, but not realizing that they are emotionally, mentally, and even in some cases physically preventing them from developing a normal connection to them growing up or them being able to navigate the world around them. That makes them more susceptible to people who commit crimes or predators. I'll give an example of the normalization of adultification that happens. The biggest example is, which what I wanted to talk about, is the whole concept with, in particular, this kid influencers. There are too many adults comfortable with putting their children in adult situations for fame, notoriety, and money. A biggest example of this, and I think that caught a lot of attention with this earlier this year, was the influencer Miss Shirley. This was definitely during the early height of the year, you know, boots on the ground, these line dances were coming out. And so this little girl who been dubbed Miss Shirley went viral because she was popping her fan and doing the boots on the ground line dance. And I'll even admit, when I first saw it, I loved it. I thought it was cute. I thought, okay, she's getting this step. She know this step better than me. Like, you know. And at that time, but as her notoriety began to grow, the more, being honest, the more weird her content began to get. And I wasn't the only one who realized it, because a lot of people tried to DM and comment to the mother or the people who are surrounding her, creating her content, telling them, hey, like, okay, look, we get it was cute in the beginning, but now it's starting to get a little dangerous because her audience went from, just like I said, these little cute videos to this little girl being surrounded by nothing but adults and dancing and performing for adults. It's one thing if you had her like with a little kid group and they started like a little kid version of line dancing and toured that way. That actually could have been a market you could have went into. But no, a lot of her content is her being surrounded by grown adult women and men, and they're holding her and taking pictures and dancing with her and commenting on her and her outfits, and she's wearing all these different kind of things, and she's being paraded around these different spaces, and not one child in sight. This 3-4-year-old girl, and the adults around her see no problem with it. Because they're saying we are overreacting and we are putting on, projecting to her. And the issue is because of how normalized that adultification has been in that case. I really hope, you know, like I said, this girl is really protected, really guarded. Because there are too many people, especially in the entertainment industry, especially what we see happen with these child stars and these kid stars and the things that they went through, and then seeing them now as adults and have people have so many things to say about them now. Have so many things to wonder about their behavior and why some of them conduct themselves in certain ways, but not realizing how exposed, pretty much left to the sharks, that these children are left to be in. So what I want us to do with this information is for us to be aware and really check our own selves of the things that we tend to normalize and we tend to create and indoctrinate in our own ways when it comes to children, when it comes to our own identities and connections with sex and perception. Because my major point is, in concluding with these billboards, we cannot afford to be vague. We cannot afford to leave anything open for interpretation. We have to be direct and call a thing a thing. We have to actually call that thing what it is. We have to actually put on this billboard in sex trafficking, in child sex trafficking. We have to be that direct. Because it leads me to one of my last points, that we're leaving things left unsaid, especially kids who are in abusive situations or are victims, or teens are victims of trafficking. Like, for instance, with anybody who is teaching their children sex education or wanting to raise their awareness, one of the major things a lot of people tend to start with is saying, no, label your body parts as they are. Like, don't call it no nickname, no cute thing. Like, no, you call your vagina your vagina. You call your penis your penis. You call your booty hole your booty hole. Or your anus, or whatever. You use those words. Because too many times, reports from experiences, people have nicknamed, oh, my uncle ate my cookie. Or, so I messed with my peanut. There have been too many cases of kids saying things like that, and people don't know what they're talking about until the worst happens. But it's been so normalized for us to do the little cutesy stuff like that, to be so indirect. If we truly want things like this to end, we have to be more alert. We have to be aware of the things that we have let slide for too long. We have to really put... Everybody is big on putting boundaries. We really have to put boundaries in places and actually respect the autonomy of people who say no, who feel uncomfortable, who feel that something's not right about this. We have to really start listening to our intuitions. We have to really start listening. But in order to do that, we have to start being direct.
Terracotta walls, they know all my thoughts. They've seen all my faces, everything that I was taught. Living like the dark, just passing by. Bye, bye, bye. Come sit at the table. Tell me how's your day. Let me take your coat. You can't overstay. So let me help you put down. Everything has changed. Some people don't come around no more, but memories remain. The tile ain't the same. My feet are always cold, but I still walk the same way that I did when I was 10 years old. We talk from day to night. Got a place that I call mine. The years keep passing by. Bye. Come sit at the table. Tell me how's your day.
Tell me how's your day.
Let me take your coat. You can't overstay. So let me help you put down all your worries. You can drop your bag. Where we left off. Come sit at the table. Come sit at the table. Come sit at the table.
And that was Ashleyon with Terracotta Walls, a beautiful song that I recently got introduced to this summer. That I, once I heard it, I was like, oh, I have to play this on my show so more people can be put on to her music, to her sound, because that was just beautiful. Getting back to our conversation, we have to start getting to the point, meaning what we say and say what we mean. We have no more time for this cute shit. We have no more time to lead people to their own devices. No, we need to start the conversations and give them the information and tools. Let's start now by changing these conditions, and let's be honest and real about being healthy, staying safe, and building interactions with one another. So that way we can identify and stop these things from happening to anyone else or continue to happen. I'm going to get off my soapbox, as they say. But just want to say, moral of the story is we have to start giving people autonomy, and that people includes children. We have to start really seeing each other as people worthy of existing, worthy of protection, worthy of connection, worthy of love. And also in that, knowing when to stop encouraging, supporting, engaging, connecting, aligning ourselves with predators and really oust them out, call them out. All right. So on that note, y'all, if you'd like to connect with me, I am on all social medias with Queen Lady AC on Facebook.com. On Instagram and Threads, it is _ I am Lady AC. On Substack, it's Lady AC. And on Twitter or X, capital I am Lady AC. All right, y'all. Until next week, y'all. Take care of yourselves. Protect yourself, love yourself, and child, then put something real on these billboards, okay?